You're listening to The Corbett Report. CorbettReport.com.
All right, friends, welcome back to the broadcast. Welcome back to Corbett Report Radio. Sorry about those technical difficulties getting connected there, but we are online. I am James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, coming to you once again, as always, from the sunny climes of Western Japan. So I'd like to thank you all for tuning in for tonight's broadcast. We have an interesting hour of the program lined up for you tonight, as we're going to be traveling digitally to another hemisphere of the globe. We're going to travel down south, and we're going to talk to our good friend Matias Rojas from Chile. And longtime listeners of the Corbett Report might remember my interview with Matias a couple of years ago now about his confrontation with David Rockefeller when he came to Chile. But that was some time ago, and Matias has continued on in his fight to get the information out, and he's doing that in quite a bit of style there in Chile, getting a lot of information out there in the Spanish language. And, of course, also he's doing a lot of work in English as well. So, Matias, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, James, for having me here. I am here in Chile, and it's night here. You have morning over there, is it?
It is 11 in the morning for me. I believe it's 11 at night for you. So basically okay. Other side of the world.
Yes, full hours.
Exactly. All right. Well, Matias, this is probably the first time that some of the audience has heard anything about you. Why don't you just introduce yourself and the work that you do?
Well, in January of 2011, I went to the airport in Chile, Pudahuel Airport, and I confronted Mr. David Rockefeller, kingpin of the New World Order. He was accompanied by Agustin Edwards, who was a media magnate. He has El Mercurio, a newspaper in Chile that collaborated with the CIA during the 1973 coup against Salvador Allende. So I had information from the inside about the whereabouts of David Rockefeller, and it was really a miracle to find him because I believed that I was not going to be able to speak to him or to make the confrontation that ended up in YouTube and now has around 500,000 views, I think.
Excellent. Well, it's good to see that video is getting out there. We're going to have to take our first break, but when we come back, we'll continue talking to Matias Rojas about his work getting the info out there in Chile. So stay tuned right there. We'll be right back.
Afghan is in Afghanistan, Vietnamese in Vietnam, Iraq is in Iraqi land.
All right, friends, welcome back to Corbett Report Radio. I'm your host, James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. Tonight we're talking to Matias Rojas, an activist in Chile who is out there getting the truth out on a number of fronts, and as he was saying there before the break, had the chance to confront the New World Order kingpin himself, David Rockefeller. And that video is online. It's had 500,000 views so far and counting, so I hope people will check that out if they haven't done so. It was quite an intense, dramatic confrontation, and not the usual kind of polite confrontation that I'm sure David Rockefeller is used to in his day-to-day life. Just briefly, tell us a little bit about what it was like confronting him. What did it feel like? How was that?
I mean, really, it was cool. And first of all, I believe that I was going to speak to him nicely and, you know, to ask him some difficult questions. But in the start, he smiled, and I felt like, I don't know, I lost control of myself. So then I started to tell him that, you know, leave Chile now. And then I found out that Agustin Edwards, a close friend of his, that, by the way, the Edwards family also has connections in banking with the Rothschild family, going back years and years and years, and they have been part of the Chilean elite. But once I noticed that he was inside the car as well, I also had, you know, some exchange with him, telling him that he was a traitor to Chile for being a collaborator with the U.S. in this dirty operations of the CIA in Chile during the 70s and 80s.
Exactly right. And again, people can find that on YouTube. I believe it's something like Confronting David Rockefeller or some title like that. But just type in Rockefeller Chile. I'm sure you'll find it in YouTube. I will put the link in the show notes for tonight's episode. So in case you can't find that link, it will be linked up there on CorbettReport.com. But let's move on to what you've been doing in the intervening couple of years. I understand that you have now started your own website there in Chile and are getting out the information through that website. Tell people about that.
Well, we are a small group of people. It's not just me, but I of course translate many of the articles on the internet related to the whole spectrum of things like the, you know, the Anglo-American establishment initiatives in the Middle East to intervene in the Middle East, the war on terror, the war on drugs, how it's all related to the thing that we call the New World Order, this massive, you know, privatized world government in the hands of the multinational corporations that want to get rid of individual sovereignty, first of all, and want to, obviously, the sovereignty of the nation states to steal their resources. So I started this, of course, myself. Previously, I had done work with a documentary exposing the Caso Pakistani that was really a false flag operation. Of course, after seeing all the evidence, we can say that it was a false flag operation where the U.S. government said that a Pakistani citizen in Chile was trying to attack the U.S. embassy in Chile. And the Minister of Interior, Rodrigo Hinspeter, came out and said that Al-Qaeda was in Chile, and they did all this in the media. But then we found out that he wasn't guilty at all, that he never had the traces, that people entered to his house and put the traces over there, people with connections to Israeli intelligence, and things that it's all in my documentary. So I met this person in 2010, I made this documentary, and then the Rockefeller confrontation came out, and then I had the idea of, with other groups of people of making a website to translate information in Spanish, because for Spanish viewers out there, there's not too much information in Spanish, pretty much in English or in other languages, so I wanted also to inform people in my country and in parts of Latin America.
That's right. And you have been interviewing people. For example, I myself was a guest on your program there recently. So I would hope that people will at least check it out. Tell people where they can find that that website again.
Well, the website is www.verdadahora. That is in English, is truth now, but is you can go to my YouTube channel as well, NW Noticias, that also has some of the interviews that we have done to Adrián Salvucci, a political analyst in Argentina who has also exposed the New World Order over there and the influence of this corporate, you know, board called the New World Order. You can find there also my documentary, this documentary I spoke earlier in with English subtitles.
That's right. And once again, for people out there who didn't catch all of that, I will have all of these linked up, his YouTube channel and his website, in the show notes for tonight's episode. So once again, if you do miss it, it will be there at CorbettReport.com/radio. But Matias, let's start talking a little bit about Chile and the situation there. Obviously, we call it a new world order because it is global and it does affect every part of the globe, and no less so in Chile, where unfortunately you've had your own pretty disastrous history with dictators and U.S.-supported regimes in the past. Let's talk a little bit about Chile, its past, and how that feeds into what's going on right now.
Well, in Chile, we have to understand that there's something on the air. I mean, last year we started this protests for education in the streets of Santiago de Chile, and then it was spread all over the country. I think there is a something on the air. I said again because this I think is the start of a large revolution or to change the political system in Chile. We have both political coalitions, both the Concertación on one side, on the left supposedly, and the Alianza on the right, pretty much what Carol Quigley described in his book Tragedy and Hope, and what is also installed in the United States with the Democrats and the Republicans. So I think people is stuck over here, people is stuck with that, and we have an economic elite that controls both parties, an economic elite with well-known families such as the Edwards, the Luxich, and other people in banking who are members of the Trilateral Commission, who are also members of another organization funded by David Rockefeller called the America Society or the Council of the Americas, that back in the 70s and even the 60s, they were the ones who asked the CIA to intervene in Chile because Rockefeller had some interest in Chile, particularly in what is copper in mining. So Salvador Allende nationalized copper and expropriated Rockefeller's mining corporation. And so all these interests are concentrated in the Council of the Americas. What else can I say? I mean, here in Chile, we are having some kind of revolution, I think, is going to happen. Because today we have a constitution that was drafted during the Augusto Pinochet regime, a regime that was, a bloody regime that was supported by the U.S., and then the government that was installed after Pinochet, after a deal between the U.S. government and the authorities, the military authorities, we had some governments from the Concertación. And it was the same thing. I mean, it was the same thing, but with a new face. They were also controlled by the U.S. They were also controlled by these corporate interests. So now people are waking up to that.
All right, let's back up for a minute, because I think we can't talk about Chile and its place in the New World Order without talking about what happened in 1973 with the overthrow of Allende and the installation of Pinochet. And, of course, this is Chile's 9/11. It happened on September 11th, 1973, the coup d'etat that put Pinochet into power. Let's talk about that history and what and who was really behind it.
Well, the government of Allende was really a socialist government. We obviously in that time we had the sole background of the Cold War. So the U.S. wanted to fight supposedly the communists. Although we have seen that the U.S. or this elite also funds certain regimes that are communists that go to the more bloody way like China or Mao Zedong. And Rockefeller owned support to Mao Zedong in a column that we have seen in the New York Times. But it wasn't about Allende being socialist, or it wasn't about Chile becoming a new Cuba, like many people said at that time. I do believe that there were some groups, but very small groups, that wanted that to happen. But really, the way that this worked, it was because many people in the U.S. and this Western elite knew that once Allende was put in power, the government of Allende was going to nationalize many of the resources in the hands of the corporations. So they saw this on the 60s. And the Ford Foundation, I think it was around 68, 67, that funded a program to a poll to know how Chileans would think in front of a military intervention in Chile, how it was that the people will react to a military intervention that was eventually what happened. But in the 60s, they were envisioning how to take over Chile. So this was going back years and years before 1973. Agustin Edwards, a close friend to David Rockefeller that was in that car that I confronted, he was an instrumental part. He's called by Richard Helms, former CIA head, like the CIA first asset in Chile. And he's still in Chile. He's still powerful. He has never been in jail. He has never been, pointed out by the authorities as the murderer, the accomplice that he is to the murders that happened here in Chile.
All right, hold on right there. We'll have to take a short break. We're going coming up right against a break, but we'll be right back, again, discussing the history of Chile with Matias Rojas. Stay tuned right there. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the broadcast, friends. You are tuned into Corbett Report Radio. I'm your host, James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and tonight we are talking to Matias Rojas of Verdadajora.cl. How was my pronunciation there?
No, that's right. That's right.
All right. Okay, I'll learn eventually. All right. Well, we are talking to Matias Rojas, and before the break, we were talking about the history of Chile and what was happening there in the 1973 coup. So let's talk about where things went from there, how things have developed to where they are today, and what's happened in the intervening 30 years.
Well, on the side of what happened in the regime of Pinochet was really something really bad. I mean, many people died, many people were incarcerated. And then with the democracy, we had this Concertación coalition, a political coalition that took power in Chile. But many things weren't really going to the direction that many people wanted to go, you know, a more democratic country. We really had a revolution in terms of economics in Chile with Augusto Pinochet. Many of the corporations many goods that were from the state were privatized during the Pinochet regime. Many of the natural resources were again privatized. So in terms of economics, the coalition of governments, the Concertación didn't do too much to change that. So it was like a front government, like everybody said, you know, we are all democratic now, but really that wasn't the case. And an example to see this is how people like Agustin Edwards hasn't been really incarcerated at all, and hasn't been, you know, accused of anything after the collaboration that he had. So El Mercurio, the newspaper of Agustin Edwards, today has pretty much the same power that it has previously, and it has right now the same CIA-backed stuff. We have seen many of this, the Pakistani case, for instance, that I made a documentary of. El Mercurio was one of the main newspapers that put propaganda about Al-Qaeda in Chile, about the war on terror being brought here to Latin America. We had supposedly a CIA leaked document that was published in El Mercurio, and it was really all a ball. I mean, it tried to connect this Pakistani citizen to the Taliban. You know, the Taliban being in Pakistan is obviously Taliban, you know that, is funded by the CIA itself. So we have seen these people being free from justice, and people are knowing that. People today here in Chile are coming aware of that. We have another example of these multinational corporations coming to Chile. We have the Barrick Gold Corporation that has connections to the Rothschilds, has connections to the Rockefellers, to the Bush family, to some Saudi Arabian people like Adnan Khashoggi, who is an arm dealer and drug dealer and connected to the Iran-Contra scandal. So we have the same mafia here in Chile still present. And what we have seen in the last year and a half has been an awakening of the Chilean people. And it's not just about parties, because people are getting, you know, are bored with about parties. They want to become their own. They want to go to politics with their own voice and not depending on any people, on any person.
Well, you are a young man yourself, so maybe you are kind of part of this new movement, this new energy that's there in Chile. But for what was it like growing up as a young boy in Chile when you were a young boy? Was there a different sense to the country, and how has that really changed since that time?
Well, it was very slow. I mean, when I had 12 years old, I became aware of the whole, you know, how the politics, real politics work, you know, and worldwide, because people believe that you are an isolated country and that your politicians are the ones that you choose and are the ones that are, you know, representing the people. But once you find out that they are representing other interests, privatized interests, interests of people that have privatized power abroad, and that they are just, you know, not representing anybody. They're just representing what their pockets want, you know. Then I became aware, first of all, of the lies of the media. I became aware of 9/11. I became aware of a lot of things. And being in that position to know, you know, that 9/11 was an inside job, people in Chile didn't took too much attention to that years ago because they said, you know, it's the U.S., whatever. I mean, it's the U.S., it's not Chile. Nothing like this will happen in Chile. But now people are having, you know, a more open mind. They are seeing things that are happening, and they are seeing that indeed our country is kidnapped by these corporate interests.
Exactly right. So I think it must be the awareness overall is increasing. So it's good to see that. And when we come back from this next break, let's start talking about the protest movement that's going on there. Even as we speak, a lot of people have become involved in this. It's really sweeping the country in a big way and causing some big changes. So when we come back, we'll continue talking to Matias Rojas about what is happening in Chile and what we can expect to see in the future. So stay tuned right there. We'll be back right after these messages.
It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
Okay, friends, welcome back to the broadcast. Here we are tonight talking to Matias Rojas of verdadahora.cl. So I hope that people will check out his work and all of the excellent work and reporting he's been doing for the last several years at his YouTube site as well. Including the, was it the Pakistani case is the name of that documentary,
yes,
about
the
false flag?
Case, yes.
All right.
Yes,
again,
that false flag.
Exactly. I will link that up in the show notes as well so that you can check out that documentary. A lot of work you've been doing over the years and translating a lot of work into Spanish, which I am, of course, appreciative of because it is important that we reach out to people in every language. So it's great to see people who have that linguistic ability using that to help spread the message even further. Well, just before the break, we were broaching the big student protest movement that's really taken over Chile and has really amassed some huge protests in the last month or two, including a protest just in late August that had up to 200,000 people marching through the streets of Santiago, not only students, but also members of the largest trade union in Chile. Let's talk about this latest round of protests, what they're about and how they came together.
Well, people are asking for a massive political reform, are asking the politicians to really represent the Chilean people. They are asking for public education because we have a privatized system that doesn't serve the needs really of the people. It's not that private things are bad at all, but we have a concentrated market, you know, of universities, and we have a system that really suck in terms of money because you get indebted with the banks once you study. So there's a whole business between banks and universities, colleges, and all of this stuff. So people are mad at that. And as I said, people are also asking a reform, a new constitution, because the constitution, the political constitution that we have today is the same constitution that Pinochet drafted in the 80s. So our founding fathers, you know, in the U.S. you can say that your founding fathers are, George Washington and stuff. But here you just say, you know, our founding father is General Augusto Pinochet, you know. So pretty bad.
Yeah, not a good founding father to go back to. Well, I guess so, and it is hard to start a new tradition, but it looks like that's what people are doing there. So what's your sense on these protests? Are they dying down? Are they getting bigger? Where is this heading?
Well, I see this as a large process. I think that every story process is not in 1 year or 2 years. I see this as a some sort of 5 or 10 year process. I don't know really. I'm not a sociologist at all. But I see it with my own eyes. I mean, the government has reacted with some legislation that will criminalize even further the student protest. It's called the Hinspeter Law. It's now in Congress. And a very illustrative thing to see is that the Hinspeter Law was really drafted by economic interests. So the economic elite of Chile sent the law to the executive branch of government, and then Sebastián Piñera, the president of Chile, sent the same law really to the Congress to get its approval. We have seen strange things happening in protests. We have seen cops that dress up as anarchists, and you know that. You know, it's like the same false flag problem reaction solution method that has been used all over the world in the Greek protests and elsewhere. So I personally talked with Martin Almada, who is a lawyer from Paraguay. He was the one who founded the CIA documents related to the Operación Condor, the Condor plan of Henry Kissinger in the 70s, 60s, 80s, in all over Latin America. That was a coordination between all the secret services of Latin America under the umbrella of the U.S. So he told me, you know, according to his view on what is happening in Chile, he thinks that this could spread throughout Latin America, and he said that this Hinspeter Law was really drafted by lawyers in the U.S. You know, like, this was sent from Washington, he said. And indeed, we have seen some reforms in police to go into a more repressive state, into a more police state. Like, for instance, William Bratton, the former police chief of New York PD, he came to Chile. He's now advising the Chilean police, the Chilean government, to change a whole bunch of protocols on how you know police react to things like terrorism, you know. And here in Chile, we don't have any real terrorism. It's just things, you know. It's just propaganda from government, as I see it.
All right. Well, a lot is going on there, but of course, Chile isn't an isolated unit. It's part of a bigger picture that's happening not only across South America, but around the globe, and it fits into this bigger picture that's unfolding in lots of places. So let's start talking about that bigger picture and how this fits in with such things as Rockefeller's Council of the Americas and how this fits into other things that are going on around the globe right now as well.
Well, we have to see that we have to go back to history and see that the Council of the Americas was really influential in Chilean history or Chilean, you know, Latin American history, for instance, on how they pressurized the CIA in order to take action. Today we have a former president of Chile who had been congratulated by Rockefeller himself, like Ricardo Lagos, a former president of Chile, who gained a gold insign from Dave Rockefeller. And this was all done, you know, in private. I mean, it wasn't really a public appearance, you know. The things that are happening now in Chile, I think that, as you said, this is going into a more geopolitical analysis, in the sense that with the Pakistani case, we have an example of U.S. and Israel and you might say the Anglo-American establishment trying to put the war on terror on in Chile. A few weeks ago, we had the case in Bolivia that they found, the Bolivian authorities found, from in front of the U.S. Embassy in La Paz, they found a cargo supposedly with uranium that was going to Iran, they said. And then the Brazilian intelligence said that this uranium was going to Iran that was going to be transported to Chile as well, then to Europe, then to Iran, and that Venezuela was also involved. So we have had this talk on the media. Of course, when they checked really the content of that cargo, they found that it wasn't uranium, really. So they had to change the whole version of the story. We've had, for instance, the president of the Jewish community in Chile, that I personally believe that doesn't represent all Jewish people. I mean, there have been a large of cases and Jewish people that I know that are against, for instance, what the Israelis have done with the Palestinians. But he himself said, I think he more like a speaker of the State of Israel or the Israeli authorities. He said that the CIA, he admitted this in a interview with the Jerusalem Post a few weeks ago in August. He said that the CIA and the Mossad was having a watchful eye on some development in Iquique, that is a city in the coast north of Chile. And he said that maybe Al-Qaeda was over there, that you know, that Chile had some Al-Qaeda people and that they were going to attack some Jewish, you know, targets once a war starts between Israel and Iran. So I think they are preparing for something here in Chile. I think they are preparing for something in Latin America in order to say that we also have terrorism in Latin America, and somehow the U.S. also has to intervene here. So the U.S. has also intervened with other things like the U.S. government with the Chilean government signed a deal of cooperation after the earthquake of 2010. Do you remember the earthquake?
I do, very much so, yes.
An 8.8 earthquake in Chile. Many people have theories, by the way, that this was done by HARP or something like that. I'm not too supportive of that theory because I haven't seen, you know, enough proof. But whatever, the U.S. is taking advantage of this crisis to make deals with the Chilean government in order to in an eventual new earthquake, Southcom, U.S. Southcom can deploy troops on the streets of Chile. So that is also, you know, very big threat that I think is on the air. And this deals, this treaties have been signed between the Chilean government and FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency in the United States, that also has an approach to fighting terrorism and to you know, fight all sorts of crises with Homeland Security in the U.S. So I think this is part of a large transformation of Chilean policies, security policies. We have the government of Chile through its Minister of Defense, Andrés Alamán, sending a law to Congress in order to authorize the intervention of the military for inside business, for inside threats, you know, to deploy military people, something that is prohibited today in the streets of Santiago. If something happens from the inside, you know, the inside war that they have talking about in the United States with a possible attack from Al-Qaeda and all sorts of things. So this is the Americanization of Chile, the Americanization of all of the war on terror here in Chile, of these repressive laws that are being brought from the outside of the country.
Well, again, a globalist system functions by making sure that all the different parts of that system have pretty much the same story or the same narrative to work from. So the war on terror and Al-Qaeda is always the convenient boogeyman. But let's back up for a moment to that story about the uranium heading to Iran. Where, again, did they say this was supposedly coming from, and how was it being transported to Iran, did they say?
Well, the Bolivian authorities never said where the uranium was coming from. They said that this was going to be transported from Bolivia to Chile and then to Europe. Then the Brazilian intelligence came out in a report in the Brazilian news, said that this was really a route of a uranium trafficking going from Bolivia to Iran with the support of the Venezuelan government, of Hugo Chavez. So this is really, but we have been listening this thing from 2011, when in February a former official of the Bush administration called Roger Noriega said that the Pakistani citizen that was arrested in Chile in the U.S. embassy in 2010 that was really helped, that he was helped by Hugo Chavez government in order to achieve supposed, you know, terrorist goals, and that he wanted to blow up the U.S. embassy with some traces of explosives, supposedly. It was all a fraud, really. But they are trying to make a connection. They are trying to say that Iran wants to fund terrorists in South America with the help of the Venezuelan government. So that's the line. That is the talking point right now in South America. So I see it as a threat. I see that this could... develop into a larger thing. I think that maybe they will stage something. Someday I think that they will say that, you know, like the Israeli embassy attack in Argentina in 1992, that according to Adrian Salvucci, the analyst that I spoke earlier, it was a false flag event covered by Mossad agents. So for the presidents of the Jewish community in Chile to say that CIA and Mossad is doing espionage in Chile, and for US, for Chilean authorities to be, you know, completely silent about this, I mean, that's pretty bad. This interview is specific interview that I talked earlier. Of Chai Agosin, the president of the Jewish community, was done in English. So any media outlet in Chile copied, you know, the interview and put, you know, in a headline that he admitted that CIA and Mossad is in Chile. But I did, you know, I work in a newspaper called Panorama News in Santiago. So I put that article over there, and it came in the news, but it didn't, you know, make too much noise in Congress or in the Chilean authorities.
Well, how does this all tie in, do you think, to the greater agenda of trying to ramrod some sort of free trade area of the Americas or some sort of deal like that in place in South America? How does this all play into the global sort of economic game that's being played in South America right now?
Well, there is a treaty. I don't remember exactly the treaty, but Piñera, the Chilean president, said that he was going to sign the treaty. I don't remember exactly the treaty, but this is going to be a multilateral treaty, and in that treaty, countries accept some of the internet regulations as well. So Chile is one of the countries that has... The most amount of treaties of free trade agreements with other countries than the rest of the world. So it's a total globalized country, and this was done under the governments of the Concertación that were backed by the Council of the Americas, that were backed by David Rockefeller himself. So I think that the current Chilean government, although it's supposedly opposed to the previous government of the Concertación, is doing the same thing in terms of globalizing the country, of bringing in a new world order into Chile, both in the economic and both in the police state that we have seen in these protests.
Well, again, as I said earlier, it's unfortunate, but it's true. This is a new world order, and for people who are out there thinking that there's somewhere to run to that will be free or safe from all of this, I think that's a pipe dream. It's happening in every part of the globe, and as we've seen this week from the various guests we've been talking to in different parts of the planet about different sectors of the globe, it is one big globalist system, and even there in Chile, it is still part and interconnected with that globalist system. And you have the same types of insiders who are are connected to the Trilateral Commission and all of these other types of organizations, up to their old usual tricks, trying to start false flag events and other things to ramrod the public into doing things they don't want to do. All right, let's come back from our break. We're up against our final break here, but let's come back to wrap things up tonight with Matias Rojas once again talking about what's happening in Chile. So just stay tuned right there. We'll be right back to talk in the final few minutes with Matias. I hold a doctrine to which I owe not much indeed, but all the little I ever had, namely, that with ordinary talent and extraordinary perseverance, all things are attainable.
I'm sick of this damn noise, the paranoid android.
All right, friends, welcome back to the final minutes of Corbett Report Radio. I'm your host, James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. Tonight we've been talking to Chilean activist Matias Rojas, and once again, all of his websites and videos and all of that will be linked up in the show notes for tonight's episode at CorbettReport.com/radio. So I hope that you will go there and check out his work, and not only in Spanish, but also his English translations into Spanish, etc. He's doing a lot of work over there, so I hope you will go and support the work that he's doing. Just in the final minute or two here, Matias, anything else that you'd like to tell the listeners about, or anything that you'd like to direct their attention to as the world continues to slip towards the slippery slope of economic collapse and all of this other stuff is happening? Anything that you'd like to summarize with tonight?
Well, I will tell them that this is a globalized world that we're living in, and that Chile is also part of that globalized world, that we all think that need to spread this information as wider as possible, and to pressurize our politicians, to pressurize our media outlets, our mainstream media, to touch this issues and to make, you know, public opinion ourselves. So this is my message, and I know that a lot of people out there know about this, but maybe the folks living, you know, in front of them don't know. So this is also about coming together to spread the word, coming together, you know, to talk about these issues, and to really to empower the little communities, because that is what is going to eventually defeat this new world order.
I think you're exactly right. We have to keep it local. We have to build up alternative communities. We have to support independent media, and we have to support the people who are out there on the front lines. So, Matias Rojas, my hat's off to you for all the work that you're doing there. And I hope we can talk to you again in the future. So thank you for your time tonight.
Goodbye, Corbett, and thank you.
All right. All right, excellent. Okay, there he goes, Matias Rojas. Once again, his website is verdadahora.cl, and that will be linked up in the show notes, so I hope you'll go there and check it out. And just in the final minute or two, I'd just like to remind you that Republic Broadcasting is attempting to raise some money for some equipment that is badly, sorely needed at the network. So if you have the have it within your heart to be able to give anything that that you might be able to in this pledge drive, you can either write in at 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664, or you can go to the website republicbroadcasting.org and click on the Donate PayPal button, or you can also phone in your pledge, 1-800-724-2719, and once again, any donations that you'd be able to make are much appreciated. And on that note, we're going to leave it there for tonight, but we will be back tomorrow night with our Friday night edition of this broadcast. And tomorrow night, we're going to be going over my latest DVD, which is going to be available for sale on the website this weekend. It is a compilation of The Last Word, a video series I was doing last year. It has 7 episodes on there of different installments of that. I think some very popular videos, so I hope that you will stay tuned for some excerpts from that, and we will be giving out 1 free DVD on air tomorrow night, so I hope you'll tune in for that. So until then, thank you all for listening. Once again, I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and I'm looking forward to talking to you all once again 23 hours from now. So until then, thank you for listening, and take care.